Let's read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What a fitting end to the whole book of Psalms, and what a fitting end to these last Psalms that we call the Hallel Psalms. Remember, praise ye the Lord. What is the Hebrew word? Hallelujah. Okay, that's the English way to say it, okay? But you really got to get that hallelujah. You know, like you ever have challah bread, you know, and you have to have that. I guess you develop it more when you speak it a lot. So, again, as we have gone through these psalms, we see there's no title to this psalm, and the earthly author cannot be known. We know the heavenly author is God. We know that, the Spirit of God. And as stated with the other Hallel Psalms, some say David is the author of them, while Jewish tradition says that these last five psalms were composed by Zechariah and Haggai. And Psalm 150 is a part of the Hallel Psalms, 146 to 50, which bring the book of Psalms to a close. This particular psalm, 150, it resounds with praise to God. The command to praise, Hebrew word halal, is in every verse. Every verse mentions to praise the Lord. This psalm concludes the halal section as well as serves as the doxology for the whole book. I love what Spurgeon says. Now, only Spurgeon can write with this colorful, flowery language. Any of you ever do morning and evening Spurgeon's devotion, okay? If you have not done that, find that. I'm sure you can find it in an ebook and whatnot. It's called Morning and Evening, and it's a devotion to do in the morning and one in the evening. It is a gold mine. So if you've never done that, seek to do that. But Spurgeon says, "We have now reached the last summit of the mountain chain of Psalms. It rises high into the clear azure." I had to look that word up. I didn't know what it meant. It means bright blue, okay? And its brow is bathed in the sunlight of the eternal world of worship. It is rapture. The poet-prophet is full of inspiration and enthusiasm. He stays not to argue, to teach, to explain, but he cries with burning words, "Praise him, praise him, praise ye the Lord." So again, there's no debate here, there's no teaching here, there's no argument here, there's no petition here. It's all about praising God. And verse 1, a couple of words to help us understand it a little more. Sanctuary means sacred place, and firmament means the expanse of the sky. A psaltery is a stringed instrument, much like our modern-day dulcimer. Timbrel is tambourine, and we saw this last time we were together, but dance comes from the root word to whirl. And once again, it's not to be associated with modern dance, but it is a word that expresses great joy. And David danced before the Lord, and so this is a word that expresses great joy. Organ, you'll notice in verse 5, it talks about... in verse 4, talks about stringed instrument and organs. Now, don't think of our Western organ, but this word actually comes from the root word meaning to breathe. So they are literally instruments that require breath, okay? So much like our reed instruments, okay? So the organ as we know it wasn't invented at this time, so... But these are instruments that you would have to blow through. So, verses 1 and 2, the outline. Praise the Lord for who He is and what He does. Verses 3 to 5, praise the Lord with all kinds of instruments. And then verse 6, a universal call to praise. The whole song is all about praising God. And what a blessed psalm it is. So notice the first stanza, verses 1 and 2. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. So the psalmist instructs us to praise the Lord for who He is and for what He does. And we are to praise God inside His sanctuary and outside His sanctuary. We should be praising the Lord everywhere. Have you ever heard people say, when you're witnessing to them, "Oh, I go to church, but my sanctuary is outside"? Well, that's not a bad thing, but we're also commanded to praise Him in the sanctuary, okay? We should be praising God when we go outside, because notice what it says. Inside His sanctuary, we hear and read through His written revelation of His great and mighty acts. And also we hear of His excellent greatness. So it is while we're here and we're gathered together, we hear the word read, we hear the word preached. So we are commanded by God to assemble. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of it, some is. So we are commanded to meet together in a sanctuary. Now, depending where you are in the world, a sanctuary could be a church like this. A sanctuary, you know, there was a time in Russia where people had to meet literally outside, but it was a sanctuary because the body was gathered together. You know, in China, they meet in all kinds of places, underground. Now, when we hear the word underground, don't necessarily think that they're underground. They might be, but a pastor friend of mine, Justin Weberg, went to China and he met with the underground church and was actually preaching underground, but there underground, they were in a nursing home that was owned by a Christian. They were in a nursing home, and while he was there, he was arrested along with the people and had quite an ordeal, and finally they put him in a car, and sitting on this side of him was a man in a briefcase, and sitting on this side of him was a man in a briefcase, and he said, "I've seen too many of those movies to know that where this is going to end." They took him to the airport, gave him his passport, and said, "Go back to America and never come home." That was after 2 days of interrogation. And all his belongings were there, still in China, his computer and all kinds of stuff. But he was able to go home. So underground. So a sanctuary may be, you know, wherever you gather together. It may be a house church. It may be. But yet we're to also praise Him, again, in the firmament of His power, outdoors. How many times, you know, do we, you know, drive around this area of the world in which we live? Maybe you're driving, maybe you're walking, maybe you're hunting, maybe you're boating. It's just absolutely beautiful, God's creation. And we need to praise Him for what we see. And outside, we again see His power. In here, we hear it through the Word. Outside, we see it, and through His revelation of creation. Oh, how we should praise the Lord for the revelation of Himself through His creation and through His Word. Isn't it interesting how we've been learning a lot about this lately, even in our theology class and all, how God has revealed to us Himself through creation and through His Word? And I think we need to be reminded of that sometimes. You know, especially living up here, you get kind of complacent with it. I remember when we were living up north, and I went to the airport in Boston to pick up my future daughter-in-law, Megan. And we were going through the Notch, you know, and coming up to the Notch and going through Franconia Notch. And she just said, "Oh, look at the mountain." Now, she lived in Florida, and she hadn't seen a mountain in a long time, you know, and she says, "Oh, I just love the mountains. Look at the mountains, you know." Now, when we go down there, we go out on Pensacola Beach, we say, "Oh, look at the white sand, look at the ocean, you know. You hear all that and you smell all that, and it's beautiful. But God created both. God created the beautiful shoreline, and God created the beautiful mountains, and we should praise Him. And again, you know, not too long from now, I don't want to rush the summer away, although it's washing away, but I don't want to rush it away. Pretty soon we'll be coming up to the beautiful time of the year when all the colors come. So we have much to praise God for. Second stanza, verses 3-5. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. I should have cued him into that before. That would have been great. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. So the psalmist instructs us to praise the Lord with instruments. God's praise should sound beautiful. Think of what a well-tuned and trained orchestra sounds like. Any of you ever go to like to hear the Boston Symphony or anything like that? I remember Sandy and I, when we were pastoring in New York, almost every 4th of July, we went to West Point, and we heard the Army Band play the William Tell Overture, you know, that whole movement. And you know, that one part, you know, during that part, the fireworks would be going up, and it was great. It was beautiful. And to hear, you know, musicians who know how to play, you know, what will the praise of heaven's orchestra sound like? You know, think about the best, you know, music you've ever heard, and how much that pales in sight of what heaven will sound like. Trumpets, all manner of stringed instruments, wind instruments, tambourines, loud and high-sounding cymbals. Brother J.R. is not with us, but this is his favorite psalm because he's a drummer, and he says, see, cymbals, you know. But God, praising God with instruments, what a blessing that is, and what will it sound like in heaven? And then verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist calls for every breathing thing to praise the Lord. This is the matchless, majestic, and glorious finale of the wonderful book of Psalms. All creatures are called upon to praise God. You know, when you start with that very, very first psalm, you know, the psalm that every week the folks in RU repeat, you know, blessed is the man. And then it ends with, you know, praise ye the Lord. And that blessed man is the one who has the privilege. Praise the Lord. Think of the day when with our own eyes we will see the Lord. Think of that day. Think of our dear loved ones who, you know, the past few years have gone on to be with the Lord. Think of Pat, think of Brother Bill Smith, and those who are with the Lord, you know, with their own eyes they see the Lord. Think of the day when with our glorified body, freed from the ravages of sin, we will lift our voices with the heavenly host of the redeemed and sing that new and glorious song, praising the Lamb who was slain and who is worthy of all our worship and praise. You know, just think that. Think of hearing, good hearing. Now, I was a mechanic before I went into the ministry, and I did not use ear protection like I should have. And I used air chisels and air guns, and my hearing is not what it should be. Every weekend when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, we used to go skeet shooting, and I never wore ear protection. And I am suffering today. The quieter it is, the louder my ears ring. Anybody have ringing in their ears? What is that called? Tinnitus? You know, termites? Whatever it is, you know. And just this constant shh, you know, and louder and louder. And, you know, Won't it be great when that's all gone? Won't it be great when the voice is glorified? Not only do we get to see our Savior, but we get to sing praise to Him. We get to hear Him. We get to hear praises being sung to Him. What a day that will be. What joy. Complete victory and salvation has come. And I can't wait for that day. I woke up this morning and every joint in my body ached. And I just think it's the dampness. I don't know, you know, and my old age creeping up on me. But, you know, and I said, Sandy, I haven't been doing much where I would be in pain like this. She said, it's so damp outside. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But someday that'll be gone, praise the Lord. But we're living in dark and perilous days, friends. Days where men and nations fall. The days before the dawn of heaven breaks. Think about that. All of creation moans, awaiting its redemption. But the true church of God, His bride, should know no fear. We know His purpose, and we remember His promise to come for us, that we can ever be with the Lord. So we hope, we wait, we watch, we worship, patiently waiting the day when we join that great hallelujah chorus of heaven. What a day that will be. But today, when we take the time here in a few moments to go to prayer, take the time to praise God. Let's just spend this time praising God for, number one, who He is, number two, what He does, and number three, what He has done for you. So let's make this a real time of worship in our prayer and praising God for who He is. And as always, I always encourage you to read the next psalm to be prepared. But friends, please continue to read the book of Psalms. Read them, study them, meditate upon them. Pray through them daily, because someone has said a psalm a day keeps the worry away. And the psalms are great. And where would we be without the psalms, right? Where would we be? So many blessings. So, uneventful close of the book. But you know, they have been a blessing to me, and I hope that they are a blessing to you, and I hope you've learned something. And especially when so many of the psalms start with what seems like defeat, what seems like depression and darkness, those psalms end with victory and light and joy. And sometimes, you know, we have to admit, sometimes we're in those days, we're in those dark days, we get depressed, we get down, we feel terrible, we have the woe is me syndrome, and, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, you know, and we feel that way. But then we have to remember that God can turn it all around. God has turned it around. Sometimes we need to remember that. So let's just stay in the Psalms. I encourage you to read them when you can. Meditate on them. So let's go to prayer and let's praise God for who He is. Remember, also teach us to pray. I'd ask some of the adults if you could take some of the kids and take a kid or two in your group and teach them to pray and ask them. I know Pastor Nate does this a lot of times. Tell me an attribute of God. You know, who is God? To praise Him for who He is and for what He does and for what He's done for us. Let's remember to pray for Kayla and JR and the boys. Let's remember to pray for Brother Joel, folks traveling, and any other prayer requests? Yes.